Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
Alyssa, what is one must-have for your doomsday bunker?
One must-have for my doomsday bunker. So many batteries.
Yeah.
You know, I just feel like you can't have enough batteries.
You've got a whole battery room. I go in and it's like...
I have a battery closet.
It's like Paris Hilton's shoe closet, but batteries.
Yeah.
Ooh, you've got all the weird sizes. Look at this.
Oh, I've got lithium, the 2032 watch batteries.
Ooh.
I have them all.
Amazing. Wow. The MTV Cribs of the second Trump administration.
Battery closet.
On today's episode, we discuss women's rights and women's wrongs. We support both, but one of them we just like support so we can laugh at it, I guess.
I guess.
So we don't cry?
So we make people know they shouldn't aspire to it.
No, it's not cool. But Alyssa, you laugh and cry this episode. No, spoiler
alert. I do. That's where we're at.
That's where we're at the same time. You were laughing and crying. It's great. It's great. Everything is fine. We also dive into the personal and political of protecting ourselves in the new Trump era. Are we gun people now?
Don't know.
We don't know.
We'll find out later.
We're asking ourselves the question. And we've got Sanity Corner / I Feel Petty. All right, let's get to the show. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that supports women unless the woman sucks. Alyssa, you know, you and I have kind of talked about how we can't like mainline the news anymore.
No.
It's really strange. I feel like I turn the news on out of a force of habit and
Me
then I'm
too.
Like,
oh no.
Oh, no,
it is an actual visceral reaction that has prompted me to try an SSRI.
it feels like I have a phantom limb in
yeah.
a way.
Totally.
It's like,
well, because
oh,
what
yeah.
did you do? It's like you turn it on. And also
yeah.
then if you don't turn it on, my friend last week texted me, Jonas texted me, what the actual fuck? And I was like, dude, I need context. And he's like, I thought you'd be watching the news. And I was like, no.
That's an evergreen message these days. Honestly, it feels like I wake up in the morning and my routine used to be that I would listen to a series of like local
yeah.
newscasts.
Same.
And I would listen to NPR and What a Day and like just get everything kind of all the juices flowing. And it's like, where are we starting at? Right. And now I feel like I wake up and I'm like, I reach for it and then I'm like, oh, yeah, my arm got chopped
off. Can't do that. Shouldn't do that.
It's not. Oof. I don't want to think about that, the horrible accident that led to my arm, and it's whatever. We've tortured that metaphor enough. Nevertheless, this is a podcast where we talk about news. So we figured that we would, like, gamify the way
yeah.
that we're talking about news this week so we can move on to the part where we talk about surviving the next 4 years,
yeah.
which I think is a little bit more constructive versus news stuff, which feels just kind of like hitting myself on the head with a hammer.
Over and over. It's just whack-a-mole.
All right, so we've been inundated with breaking news detailing former reality stars, Fox News hosts, sex pests, wrestling moguls that are going to be packing Donald Trump's cabinet. I would say it makes more sense to think of his cabinet like he is casting a reality show.
He is.
Because nothing matters to him, because nothing has ever impacted him in any kind of a real way.
Do you know almost after every pick, he has somehow mentioned that they're from Central Casting?
It's weird.
It's weird.
It's like Mike TV. I know people have compared him to the kids from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Right.
But he is really Mike TV metastasized, where he just wants TV to be real and he wants real to be TV. He just
yeah.
wants to like eliminate, it wants to be seamless.
And he's actually doing quite a good job.
Yeah, I mean he's actually doing it. Nobody asked for this. Nobody wants it. But okay, so let's talk about the fact that there are quite a few women involved in this, and we're going to package it as women's rights or women's
wrongs.
All right, let's talk about some of the groundbreaking women entering Trump's bullpen, Big Brother house, confessional, whatever.
Real world road rules.
Real world road rules tongue twister challenge. We've got Tulsi Gabbard, who is like just the most obvious, like she's even got villain hair. And I feel bad.
She does have villain hair. It's cool villain hair, but that is the only cool thing about her.
It is. I mean, I think that she's styling herself after the henchwoman from the first The Incredibles movie. Like, she wants to kind of
be her.
But it's not quite working. It's a little bit more like Bride of Frankenstein, yeah. Bride of Putin sort of stuff. She was nominated for Director of National Intelligence. Yeah, she was a couple years ago the vice chair of the DNC, and now she is just a gray streak Republican. Alyssa, what is your perspective on Gabbard's twists and turns in her political career? And is this a woman's right or a woman's wrong?
Erin, this is not good for women. This isn't good for women. Okay, so for listeners who don't know, the DNI was founded in 2005 after 9/11. And its central point is to make sure that all the intelligence agencies are talking to one another. And I think, like, the most familiar DNI is James Clapper, right? We've all seen James Clapper on TV. Do you know what he did, Erin, before he was DNI?
What?
He was the director of defense intelligence and the undersecretary of defense for intelligence.
Okay.
She was a surrogate for Trump. She thinks Bashar al-Assad is, like, misunderstood.
Okay.
So this doesn't feel good or smart or, like, do you know what this part reminds me of? Hmm. Actually, all of these can fall under the rubric of one of my favorite episodes of Veep. When Amy, her chief of staff and campaign manager, says, "We'll never have another woman president again because we tried one and she fucking sucked."
All right. Well, that's a good note to end our Tulsi section on. Dogs who are thinking of entering America, think twice. Christy
Gnome. Be glad for those new restrictions.
Yeah. Christy Gnome, famous puppy shooter and governor of South Dakota, and famous affair haver with Corey Lewandowski, who nobody is talking
about. I forgot about that.
It was in the New York Post. They were having an affair.
I forgot about that.
And everyone was like, oh, I guess, you know what? Maybe that's a woman's right. If men who have affairs are allowed to have public careers, then, you know, maybe women affairs could
Live your best life. Just stop murdering your dogs and goats.
and stop, like, trying to claim any sort of moral high ground when you can't even keep your marital vows. Like,
no.
Not to be smug, but, like, I've never cheated on my husband.
Me
and
either.
I am a left-wing baby-killing feminist.
All the things. Yeah.
So, I don't know, Christy. Who's the conservative dreamboat now? Anyway, so Christy Gnome has been nominated for the Secretary of Homeland Security. Of course, South Dakota, right in the crosshairs of the southern border.
She's ready on day one.
As we all know, ready on day one. This has been part of her job for so long.
It's so bad.
I gotta say, Christy Gnome is at least getting all those new teeth that are too big for your mouth.
Chiclets are gonna get their moment in the sun.
Thank God. Somebody give me the name of that dentist so I never go to see them. We're being so catty, but
I don't care. I don't care. Look at this. I'm crying. I'm laughing.
She's an unqualified bad governor who is disliked. I mean, people in her state like her because she is affiliated with the right people.
Right.
But, you know, she's not, again, another Tulsi.
Well, it's like, what about her makes her remotely qualified to be DHS secretary? So, like, we can be mean about it because she's just going to take the memos from Stephen Miller. That's her job.
Yeah. Great. Very cool. Women's rights or women's wrongs.
Cheers.
Wrongs. Oh, guess what? We got a groundbreaker. Susie Wiles, a campaign veteran but federal government outsider, has been nominated for chief of staff. Alyssa, if we had a chief of staff off, if you had been given a chance to be chief of staff, how much would you kick Susie Wiles' ass at being chief of staff?
Erin, I think you know me to be a humble person. I would destroy. I would be so good at that job. I know where the secret entrances are. I know what the government does. And guess what? I believe in what the government should do. So, look, if someone tells her that the government's about to close down and what do you have to do? who knows what to do? I know what to do. Not Susie Wiles.
Well, Susie Wiles is the first ever female chief of staff, which seems
groundbreaking.
Kind of, yeah, she's breaking ground. Great. She's breaking glass. Now it gets to it. The shards get to rain down on every other woman who's ever going to try to do it. Okay, let's move on. We've got a 27-year-old who's going to be the press secretary.
I almost feel bad for her.
Her frontal lobe has
barely closed.
Barely completed.
Barely. Her soft spot is just.
Her fontanelle is still tender. Look, I know America was founded by a bunch of like drunk 23-year-olds, drunk on cider, but you know, it was the colonial times. Everything was cider back then. But I think we're discovering now that maybe people that are that age are not the greatest at having like ideas that are good long term, right?
No.
I mean, they did come up with the Senate, which is an objectively stupid idea.
I assume she's meant to talk about crowd size and how out of central casting all the picks are as they try to get confirmed. And we all know Trump's really his own spokesperson anyway, so maybe she'll vet his tweets. I don't know.
Yeah, Caroline Leavitt, I'm not sure.
Leave it or leave it.
I think that she is Donald Trump Mrs. Hope Hicks desperately.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she's the new Hope Hicks. So hopefully she's got better taste in men. Hope Hicks also famously hooked up with Corey Lewandowski. What does that man have? He's got he's got like right wing riz, which is a thing that I do not understand.
He might be the only. Yeah, no, it's so interesting. You really don't see it, you know?
Put a pin in the right-wing riz. That was a tongue twister. Put a pin in that thought. It's like 9 in the morning, and I feel intoxicated with how stupid this is.
Yeah.
Like, I feel goofy. I feel like I'm one of those
because
real Mormon
wives.
How
are we supposed to take this seriously?
I feel like I'm a real Mormon wife about to get some Botox. And
you get that laughing gas,
getting
girl.
The laughing gas. Caroline Leavitt, or whatever your name is, good fucking luck. Women's wrong again. Okay, here to take a folding chair to generational knowledge and national literacy is Linda McMahon, who previously led the Small Business Administration and more famously once helped lead the World Wrestling Federation or WWE Entertainment. Mm-hmm. Her husband, Vince McMahon, they had a rivalry that culminated at one of the WrestleManias. She's like been in wrestling matches. So
yeah, and she's like had beers on the stage. I don't know. It's weird.
Is she, what's the thinking behind this, Alyssa? I know that it's incomprehensible, but what do you think the thinking is behind this?
She's one of his biggest donors and she's a transition co-chair.
Okay. And also I feel like Donald Trump. It's really funny because you can kind of see his quote unquote central casting quote but it's also like his prejudice showing. I think that he believes that education and dealing with kids in all ways is women's work. That's why his former Secretary of Education was also a woman who gave him a lot of money.
And he wants to take a folding chair to the Department of Education.
Yes, he does. He wants to do a pile driver to the Department of Education. We are going to actually do an episode in the future about what that means. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people who voted for him have kids who are in special ed and don't understand that means that their kids are going to lose services. And that also could mean that kids who were in public school are now going to have to be schooled at home, which means that moms are going to have to quit their jobs, which was the point all along. Linda McMahon currently being sued by 5 former WWE ring boys who are alleging negligence for allowing systemic and pervasive abuse of underage children. Look, abuse of people weaker than you shall fit right into the Trump administration.
Yep.
Women's rights or women's wrongs, Alyssa?
Oh, women's wrongs. It's not even close.
You know, silver lining here, and it's just the smallest little silver lining. All of these people are so outside of the area of expertise that they need to be in. I fear that they might have, like you suggested, a Stephen Miller kind of pulling the strings behind the scenes. But generally speaking, I don't think that these people really know what they're doing. They're like, they're like me trying to play PS5, just hitting a bunch of buttons before I get frustrated. And I'm like, I don't know how to do this. You do it. And then like putting it down.
Yeah. And the scariest part of all of this is the shockwaves that these intentions to nominate are sending through D.C. People who have been working in these agencies that we could have said, you know what, we can have faith because there are going to be people there who know what to do. They're looking for jobs.
Yeah.
They saw this the first time and they know the definition of insanity is thinking something will be different the second time. And so this is really, this is very bad.
Mm-hmm. It is really bad. But my, you know what? My only hope is that they are so inept that things don't get permanently fucked.
Yeah, inept and like all of them. Here's the other thing. They're all like so obsessed with Donald Trump. I'm like, maybe they'll just like follow him around all the time and just like, and maybe like nothing will happen and we'll just keep the status quo at some of these places because they won't actually have the intellectual curiosity to learn about their agencies.
I mean, I think it's safe to say that some of these people lack the intellectual curiosity to find the elevator to their office. Like, these people are not, they're not mental giants. They are not people who really seem interested in anything except power for its own sake. And also, given Donald Trump's track record in his last administration, a lot of these people aren't going to be here in a few months. So
a lot of them may not make it to inauguration.
Yeah. Let's not waste too many brain cells committing their names and information about them to memory, because at some point they are going to be the answer to a trivia question in a bar in D.C., and it's going to totally, like, win trivia night for you and your team. But beyond that, you probably don't need to know who most of these people are long
term. No. The one person who I, of all the list, who actually is sort of like a smart person is Susie Wiles. And since Trump nominated two people, apparently, while she was on a plane, I'm guessing she may not actually, she didn't know about. That's what I read. I'm guessing that she is both smart enough and doesn't want to be the Selena Myers of chiefs of staff, that she might not make it to inauguration day.
She also isn't publicity hungry.
No.
Like, we didn't really hear very much about her at all. And I think that Donald Trump doesn't like when people upstage him for any reason.
No, there was only one cool story I heard about her, which is one of the last nights before the campaign when he was, like, directed to just stick to his stump. He apparently was, like, so off-prompter that she put her sunglasses on and kind of, like, slithered onto stage and just stared at him with her sunglasses on.
Oh, God.
Yeah. See what the things I learned preparing for this podcast.
Oh, my God. Slithered is a good word. Let's talk more about slithering.
Oh, no.
And right-wing riz that is completely incomprehensible. Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz has been nominated for Attorney General. Alyssa, what's the latest on that as of Wednesday, which it could change in 24 hours?
Well, so here's what we know right now is that the Ethics Committee, so Matt Gaetz, just to level set for everybody, has faced years of accusations of sex crimes. And in 2021, the House Ethics Committee opened up an investigation for a range of allegations, including violating sex trafficking laws, sharing inappropriate images or videos on the House floor, and converting campaign funds to personal use. If confirmed, he will go from being under DOJ scrutiny to being in charge of the department. So the Ethics Committee findings were allegedly scheduled for release last Friday, and Gaetz resigned a few days before that, which in Congress means that the ethics investigation just kind of vaporizes, that it doesn't get released. Except as we record right now, the House Ethics Committee is meeting to see whether or not they should release the report.
Mm-hmm. And there's also been other leaky. It's
going to leak. It has to. There are too many people taunting it to leak. And by other people, I mean Republican senators.
Republican senators, their staff. There are allegedly people, hackers, which I'm like, why hack when there are so many people who are like, get this fucker out of here.
Get him out of our way.
Yeah. Allegedly, hackers obtained the report. And also an attorney for the two women that testified before the House Ethics Committee kind of has been publicly talking about some of the things that are in the report, including the fact that one of his clients witnessed Gates having sex with a 17-year-old at a drug-fueled party. Listen, that it is egregious, and he's so gross. He is so gross. He apparently was gross when he was a member of the legislature in Florida because his dad was a really powerful legislator in Florida. I think they called him Baby Gates in Florida because his dad was Daddy Gates. Isn't that gross?
Gross. Yuck.
He's so, so gross. Drug-fueled party. Sex with a 17-year-old. I would never, ever blame anybody who has been trafficked or who is underage for any of these situations. But if you are a grown adult woman, absolutely do not have sex with Matt Gaetz. We've got to do better, ladies. We've got to.
Absolutely. But, like, here's the other thing. Well, there are a couple things that this made me think about. So, one, Elon Musk. Aaron, where's J.D. Vance? I mean, today he happens to be—
That is such a good question.
Right? Today he happens to be shepherding Gaetz around the Senate to meet with senators. But, like— He has been utterly vaporized and replaced. He is nowhere to be found. He wasn't invited to, like, an MSG cool night out where they, like, hazed RFK and made him eat McDonald's.
Oh, and then Mike Johnson is peeking over the edge like, hey, guys, I'm also in Washington.
He's like the Keebler elf. He's like, I'm here, too. And so JD is just, like, missing.
And Mike.
He's like, he's been replaced by Elon, who is
just— Which is so weird.
So strange and creepy. But Elon, who is one of Matt Gaetz's biggest advocates, tweeted out, quote, Matt Gaetz has three critical assets that are needed for the AG role: a big brain, a spine of steel, and an axe to grind.
This is the opposite. This is one of the only times that I'm going to say this and mean it on this podcast.
What?
Elon, go back to your own fucking country. Get out of here. We don't need— You are the America's least valuable immigrant. Get out. Leave.
He's not helping.
You are not fucking helping. You suck. This isn't— You're not— He doesn't even go here.
I have a curveball for you.
Okay,
speaking
of
women's rights and women's wrongs, did you see what Marjorie Taylor Greene is up to?
No, I didn't, Alyssa. Okay. I've been listening to the new Tyler, the Creator album.
Okay, Aaron. Well, here's what you need to know.
Okay.
MTG has taken to the mean streets of Washington, D.C., and she has told all the senators and everyone on the House Ethics Committee that she will release all the sex crimes of the GOP if they don't support Matt Gaetz. And she even said including her own. And I was like, what is happening?
The girls are fighting. I repeat— The girls are fighting.
I thought that Laura Loomer and Katie Britt was where it would end last week, but no. Marge is large and in charge with her support of Matt Gaetz, and she has put Washington GOP on notice. If they don't get on board, she's releasing sex crimes. She was mentioning Jeffrey Epstein. I mean, just like, she is— Marge, she's got, like, roid rage.
Well, you know what? Under Project 2025, the only available porn will be congressional reports about GOP sex crimes. So we laugh now, but at some point—
I mean,
somebody—
we're not laughing, but we are, because it's weird.
Everything feels like it has become completely untethered. We got to hold on, I guess. And my theory on the Matt Gaetz nomination is that it's like— Everybody read Freakonomics when it first came out, the book, right? They talk about how realtors, when they're showing houses, do this thing where right before they show you the one that they want you to buy, they show you a really crappy one.
Mm-hmm.
So that the comparison, you're like, whoa, this one is so much better than the one they showed me before. I feel like that's what's happening with Gaetz. Like, there is somebody in the wings that is, like, really, really bad, but not Matt Gaetz sex trafficking, like, campaign finance violation.
Not that bad.
I feel like there's somebody that comes next that everyone's like, okay, well, I guess it's not—
Well,
Matt
it's like
Gaetz.
How we look at the whole cabinet now that we've seen Matt Gaetz. We're like, all right, well, he's probably not going to get confirmed, but I guess the others will, because they can't kill all of them.
God. All right. Matt Gaetz. Don't go to parties with Matt Gaetz. Don't have sex with Matt Gaetz. Blah, so gross. We've also got from Central Casting, Pete Hegseth, Fox News personality, best known for constantly looking like He's confused about whether or not that was actually just a fart or something more.
Yeah,
that just happened.
I agree with that description.
He's like, uh-oh, did I just?
Yeah, that's exactly the face.
Okay, sorry, that was really crude, but I've said worse things on this show. He has also got some really, really punchy opinions on women in combat. He thinks that having women in combat units has made the U.S. weaker and fighting more complicated. Now, one of our friends, one of the friends of Hysteria, Tammy Duckworth, had something to say about this. Duckworth is an Iraq war veteran and a Purple Heart recipient. She lost both of her legs mm-hmm. and her right arm when her U.S. Army helicopter was hit by a grenade in 2004. And she responded to Hegseth's nomination by saying, "Where do you think I lost my legs? In a bar fight? I'm pretty sure I was in combat when that happened." And Tammy, we salute you for that.
100%. Thank you, Tammy, for your service.
There are currently more than 225,000 active duty women serving in the military. Alyssa, what do you think that Hegseth, somebody with Hegseth at the helm, what do you think that that would do to our military?
People are terrified. I mean, that's the whole, first of all, recruitment's not exactly crushing it. And if there are 225,000 women, how are you going to replace all the active duty women? Like, what are you going to do? He says they shouldn't be in combat. I don't know. The men in this cabinet seem a little too emotional to serve. I'm mm-hmm. just saying.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I feel so bad. If you think about, like, the courage it takes or what you have lived in your life and what prompts you to serve, and then to do that, knowing all that it entails, and then have someone who's a Fox News weekend host be like—
Not even like the regular.
Not prime time. Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he served too, which is why I think it's even more appalling he would say it, because he's just saying that that our forces need to be better and better as men. That's like the bottom line, fundamentally.
He's probably one of those chuds who thinks that women who are 60 years old can't be president because they're getting their periods still. It's like—
Probably.
He served in the military. He has to know that there are scenarios where it is incredibly beneficial to have women in your unit, especially if you're going into a village. There are women in the village. Like,
right.
Part of women who live in the village may be much less terrified of dealing with women. You know, like, it's— there are other—
there are
advantages
a million reasons.
Too. Yeah. But yeah, you know, I also think military recruitment is suffering in the U.S. because, like, why join the military when you can get all the same toys and just be, like, dumber and in worse shape and be a cop? And you get all the same equipment.
You don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah, you don't have to go anywhere. You can come home at night. And you still get a tank. You get all—
Enjoy
the toys.
Enjoy yourself.
You get all the toys. So I think what they should do is defund the police so people who really want to play with tanks have to join the military to do it. That's my chaotic proposal.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's a women's wrong.
Oh, the women's wrong. Yes, correct.
That's a women's wrong.
Yes.
Women's rights. In brighter news, the USPS announced that Betty White will be memorialized in 2025 with a new postage stamp. Alyssa, how many sheets of this stamp are you going to buy when they become available?
So many sheets. And, you know, I do love my stamps. And so I will be—
We've never talked about stamps, and I knew that you loved stamps.
No, I do. I love stamps. You should see. I have a whole collection right over here next to my podcast equipment. Because I get the notifications from USPS.com, and I was like, and I'll go to the post office near me, and I'll be like, "Do you have the new, like, kitten postcard stamps?" And they're like, "Oh, we don't have those here." And I will go to another post office.
Oh, my God.
I do.
You're like—
So Betty White in shades of purple and lavender, like, give it to me. There will be so many.
That's amazing.
I may cover my computer screen with them.
Well, so if somebody finds your laptop, they can just it in the mail and you will get it courtesy of Betty White.
You know what? She keeps on giving. She keeps on giving.
She keeps on giving. Ugh, rest in peace, Betty White. I'm so glad she's going to be on a postage stamp. And Alyssa, just imagining you buying out all of the post offices in the Hudson Valley is
all the
incredibly
stamps.
Amusing to me. Okay. Now that we're done with the part where we just laugh helplessly through the bad news, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk a little bit about the practical things that we're talking about doing to prepare for the second Trump administration. Mm-hmm. So stick around. We'll be right back. And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who are not doomsday prepping. All right, Alyssa, I'm just going to ask the loud question first.
Yeah.
Are you thinking about buying a gun?
You know, I thought about getting a permit. I don't know if I could commit to a gun, but I had thought about a permit and like maybe taking shooting classes. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I don't think I could ever own a gun in the house. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that would I grew up around, like, where I grew up in high school, I think we grew up similarly. Mm-hmm. The first day of hunting season where I grew up at the high school, there was always an announcement that came over the loudspeaker that reminded people that you couldn't have guns in your gun racks and they had to go home at lunch.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that sounds pretty familiar. And I also, when you said you were thinking about getting a permit but not a gun, I was picturing you like running out the front door being like, get away, I got a permit.
I got a permit and I know back how to use it.
Back away. Get out of here. I have a right to defend my property with this permit. It's funny because Josh and I had a discussion about whether or not we should get a gun mm-hmm. after the election. And we have two little kids at home. And I was like, well, we would have to keep it in like a place that they don't have access to.
Yeah.
Like we have a storage area that is just not accessible to the kids. And then he was like, yeah, but then how would we even use it to defend our home? And I'm like, well, like, if we knew people were roaming around, like it was just sort of like
it's the same. It's the same. It's like it's a bit knee jerk, and mm-hmm. you feel like vulnerable. So you're like, how can I protect myself? Mm-hmm. But I'm going to be very honest. You know who shouldn't have access to a gun? A woman with cortisol surges and night sweats. I should not have access to a gun.
Yeah, we actually posed the question to the Discord, which mm-hmm. has been like really active and awesome, especially. I mean, it's always been active and awesome, but it's been really supportive and lovely since the election. But we posed the question, and so many of our Discord members had really thought about this,
mm-hmm.
really thought about it. And there were people who were like, I can't do it because, you know, I have had mental health issues in the past mm-hmm. and I don't want a gun around. Other people are like, I do want to do it. I want to learn how to shoot, but I don't mm-hmm. want to go to a gun range that's owned by a couple of like Republicans.
Right.
Like, is there a way to find like a democratically owned gun range? There are people who have long had weapons training and understand how to use one responsibly. There are people who pointed out that, you know, if you have a gun in your home, statistically, and this is like incredibly well established, statistically, it is more likely to hurt somebody who lives in the
right.
home than it is to hurt an intruder. And also in encounters where both people have guns, men are much more likely to use them than women are.
Mm-hmm.
So part of the reason I was thinking about the gun thing was shortly after the election happened, we had some like incel turds mm-hmm. talking about like your body, my choice, and
yes.
all this random edgelord posturing really online about, you know, oh, boys win. We're not going to Jupiter to get more stupider. We're here to like rape you or whatever. And I'm saying it really dismissively because I don't really take
right.
I take 99% of it not seriously. But there is a part of me that was like, I think that the hatred and distrust of women goes so deep in this country,
mm-hmm.
and the hatred of blue states from some people in red states, and the hatred of the idea of sanctuary cities, and the
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
there are all of these things that I'm like, you know, would it make sense? Like, the question became more serious to me. Should we have a gun accessible somewhere? Became
right.
more serious to me than it ever has been in my adult life.
Me too.
And I think it's something a lot of people are thinking about. Like, we're going into this not really, just kind of holding on and hoping for the best. And, you know, what are we supposed to do? There was a really interesting piece on Jezebel, which, hey, glory, hallelujah, it's been resurrected, that argues that buying a gun is actually a really bad idea. And I think it makes some really good points. We can put it in show notes. But basically, it goes over the points that I made, that having a gun increases the risk that someone in your home will die of a gunshot wound, whether by suicide or homicide. And guns are often used in domestic violence. If your gun gets stolen, it will probably be used in crimes. There's all these reasons not to have one. But I totally sympathize and understand why people are asking themselves the question.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. You have to go through all the things, right? Think about all the things that could make you feel better or safer. And I think that most people come to the same conclusion we did, which is like, no, it's not for us. But the thought process is like an empowering one because it is an option. Mm-hmm. You know, it is an option.
And there's a part of me that just wants to go to a shooting range with a determined look on my face and hold up a handgun, just ice cold fire at a target like Jennifer Lopez in Enough.
Yeah.
I haven't really played the tape forward from there. Like, I'm just mad and I'm just shooting at a target. That's it. But yeah, it seems like that might make me feel good for like 10 minutes. And then
we'll be like, I don't want this in my house.
Oh, it's I would. I'm so paranoid that I would imagine that the raccoons would break into where we're storing it and like accidentally shoot it. Like that is
100%. No, I mean there is no. It is like 15x when you leave your house and you're like, did I turn the stove off? It would haunt me all the time.
Is the gun on?
Can the new cat butthole find the gun? That naughty little boy.
Okay, so gun ownership, a very extreme but understandable thought to have, right?
Totally.
But we were talking about this episode and talking about like, hey, you know, how do we get through the next 4 years? Like, what are we actually doing to prep for the next 4 years? And I'm not talking like Idaho prepping, like scary, like bunker.
We're not doomsdaying.
Prepping. We're not doomsday, but we are 4 years of just holding on prepping. So like, let's talk a little bit about that. Alyssa, what are you personally doing to just get your ducks in a row for the next 4 years?
So I have made sure that all of my passports don't need to be renewed, or our passports. I mean, I don't have more than one.
All of your passports. International woman of mystery, Alyssa.
Enter the Americans. No, so checking all of my documents to just make sure that whatever I need, because like I think this is part of the really unnerving part of Trump. Like, what if they just put out a thing that's like, no, we're not renewing Obama people's passports?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Or like government documents. So I'm trying to locate all of my important papers. So like my original birth certificate, my social security card, my passport. Those are the things that I feel like I want to just be able to lay eyes on and know that they're here and that they're indisputable.
Mm-hmm. And also, you know, and what's the old saying about like never attribute to malevolence what can be explained by incompetence?
That too.
There is also we talked about in this episode how many incompetent people are going into the top level roles of the government. We can only assume that they're going to hire incompetent people because shit rolls downhill, right? And incompetence does as well. And we've got an incompetent person at the top of as commander in chief. We've got incompetence all the way down. So if you are somebody who needs to renew something or going to have to in the next 4 years, I would say just get it taken care of while you still can. And there are people who are moderately to incredibly competent in positions of in government positions. I would also say I just got my IUD renewed. And by renewed, I got a new one put in. And my doctor... And this is whatever. My doctor is like a pretty progressive OBGYN, and the practice offers sedation and pain meds for the procedure, which a lot of doctors do not because they, it's really the exchange is usually like, hey, should I have some pain meds for this thing you're going to put in my cervix? And they're like, no, you don't have any feeling down there, and you definitely do. So I was like, you know what? I'm not really a pain meds person. I've never really. You know, I had an epidural for both of my births, but like, I think I would like to treat myself a little bit.
Yeah, how'd that go?
Not well, bitch. Not well. I have never taken oxycodone before in my life, and that was the prescribed pain med. And I am one of apparently like 5 to 15% of people who reacts to taking oxycodone by vomiting profusely. So I, I took the pain meds, got the IUD, everything's good. And then about 10 minutes later, I was like, oh, no. And
I appreciated the text.
Yeah, yeah.
I like being that person.
I was live updating Alyssa. Like, this is terrible. I felt awful. They also gave me like a sedative. So I was sick. And then I got, you know, my husband drove me home. And my 3-year-old was like, Mommy, are you okay? It's like very disturbing for her to see me like that. I went home. I passed out for like 5 hours. I woke up and then I went back. It was a terrible experience. But I got long-term birth control for the next
you
8 years.
You took care of it.
Next time, if there is a next time, I'm just raw dogging the pain. I'm just going to say.
I mean, I have never had that done, so I wouldn't know. But I do know the one time I took oxycodone like 20 years ago when I had my wisdom teeth out, it was not pleasant.
It did not help.
After that, I stopped. I just took Advil and Tylenol after that because it really made me sick.
Yeah, it wasn't good. So yeah, if you have long-term birth control, get that in a row. Like if you have an IUD, get your IUD. If you use the implant, get your implant. Talk to your doctor about making sure you can continue to get the depot shot if you get that.
Yep.
Just stockpile within reason, I would say. Get some plan B if you want to be able to, you know, have access to emergency contraception, and also give it out to trick-or-treaters next year. Which you would be the, like, king-size candy bar house if you gave out Plan B to trick-or-treaters. Here's something that I'm putting this out to our listeners because I'm not sure what to do here. What do we do to be there for our friends and family that are members of the LGBT community? Like, concrete steps. You know, I'm not...
We would love suggestions.
I have... a family member that is a trans guy, and he is in high school, and he's really scared, and I just would love to know, you know, people who are more familiar with on-the-ground realities of what to do. Hysteria@cricut.com, and we will share tips on how to be there for members of the LGBTQ community. Immigration. Alyssa, what tips do we have for people with different immigration statuses?
Make sure your DACA status is renewed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, like,
what an annoying few months of paperwork. And during Mercury retrograde.
Just make sure all your stuff's in order. You know, that's the so depressing. Also, I think one thing to do, too, just for everybody, is like people who we're talking about all have really real reasons to have a lot of anxiety right now. And so when they try to talk to you about it, don't tell them they'll be fine because people don't feel like they'll be fine. And one of our least faves, Nancy Mace, actually was introducing legislation this week to target the first trans member of Congress.
She's such a cunt.
She's a real asshole. And I just, so it's like, don't try to tell people that they shouldn't be nervous and they shouldn't be scared. Don't tell women they shouldn't be nervous and scared. Don't tell LGBTQ plus and trans people. Don't tell immigrants. Don't tell people not to be nervous. Try to give them the tools when they ask you for your help.
Rebecca Traister was sharing this on her socials this week. She said something about how after an election many years ago, after the Democrats lost big, I think it was maybe 2010, Democrats were like, we need to, you know, play down abortion. Everybody decided that because the Democrats had a big loss that they were not going to talk about abortion anyway. That was the problem. It was abortion. And lo and behold, what happened? Republicans continued to work hard to eliminate abortion rights. And 12 years later, ish, they did, right?
And abortion outperformed Donald Trump in Florida. So fuck off.
Yeah, exactly. And I think right now we really need to listen to communities that are in the crosshairs of the Trump administration, especially like the people who are going to be first to be targeted, trans people, migrants, undocumented people, like immigrants of all kinds. We need to listen to them when mm-hmm. they're like, this is what the Democrats are. This is the ground that the Democrats are fighting to hold on to. We need to right. listen to those people instead of being like, oh, you know what? The trans stuff really threw people. No, absolutely not. Like those are, we need to listen to them. We should have listened to women after that election who are like, we still have to harp on abortion. Sorry that you don't yep. like it.
And we have to use the word abortion.
We need to use the word abortion. We need to use the word trans. We need to continue to stick our necks out for trans people in our lives. And we, again, hysteria@crooked.com if you have concrete suggestions for steps that people can take. Because, you know, Alyssa, you and I, it's we love to, like, doom giggle, I guess, is what we're doing this
yeah,
week.
Yeah, like gallows humor.
Gallows humor is good, but also, like, there is something real and something serious coming down the pike. And we need to be there for each other.
Yes.
One thing that I wanted to say felt really nice was this weekend I had a bunch of, like, female
oh,
friends
yeah.
over. And we all just kind of sat around and talked about, like, what we were going to do. And I think getting FaceTime with people that you trust and that can trust you is really important right now. Just, like, building local community bonds, making sure mm-hmm. that the groundwork for mutual aid is in place. Like, making sure that we can help each other on the hyper-local level is something that we can do and we have the power to do. Alyssa, do you have, like, an earthquake kit or a natural disaster? I guess not in upstate New York, but, like, do you have a natural disaster kit?
No, I don't. And it's actually funny because there are some things that, as part of this whole thought process, I want to get. You know, like, I'm like, you know what? Do I have flares for my car? I'm not sure I have flares for my car. Do I want to go? You know, there's, like, that whole thing that you always see is, like, askdeals.com. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know what? I need the fire extinguishers that are pint size, that are just like aerosol cans, not that you have to pull the pin out of. I need to get some flares, that kind of stuff. But mm-hmm. And I don't have them, but I'm going to by the holidays. I promise you.
That is, like, a really good – if you have somebody in your life who is really freaking out, get them, like, a card jump kit. A little.
It is. There's this one at askdeals.com. Where it looks like a flashlight.
They're not even paying me.
Please, no. This was just me accidentally watching it on Saturday morning local news. It looks like a flashlight, and it tells you exactly how to jumpstart your car, and you can also charge your phone with it.
Oh, wow. That is something.
It has, like, the USB stuff on one end and the jumpstart stuff on the other. I was, like, fascinated. And I was like, I had to write this down.
Amazing. Yeah, I have, like, I have an earthquake kit, a full-on earthquake
you
kit.
You must.
Because I freaked out when I was about to send my three-year-old to preschool because they make them come to school with earthquake kits, including, like, a laminated letter from their family, which, like, caused me to completely emotionally spiral. Yeah. I'm, like,
oh my
picturing
God.
My, like, tiny little kid, like, in her little cowboy boots, being scared and like reading a letter from her mom and dad that's like, okay, we're gonna come and get you after the earthquake rubble is cleared.
I would have fallen apart. Oh my God.
But that caused me to be like, I need one for the house. So, you know, we have like a bunch of fresh water. We have, I put some canned goods in a, you know, like, and a can opener and some like waterproof matches and basic things.
Get some flares.
Some flares, some blankets. I did not laminate a letter to ourselves. I found that to be unnecessary. But yeah, it was, you know, it felt good to just go through the process of being like, okay, we have like 2 to 3 days worth of supplies in case something
right.
happens and government response is slow or delayed. Because it
right.
might be.
You never know.
Well,
you
I mean,
know.
We've got these chuckle fucks at the head of all the departments are, you know, I don't want to like trust my life to them.
You want to have, you know, you should have an AM/FM radio. Very important.
A crank radio.
Yeah, crank radio.
Also, it's good for arm workout, like during an emergency.
Because in an emergency, that is the best form of receiving emergency information.
And the best form of toning your upper arms. All right. One more thing I wanted to say. I also got Narcan. You can get it over the counter. I am not a drug user, but I think I'm not sure how much longer Narcan will be available over the counter. And it's seriously, if you encounter if you encounter somebody who's experiencing an overdose, you can literally save their life, be a stranger, a friend, whatever. I carry it in my car in case, you know.
That's
and I
great.
Just don't. I don't.
I
know
had no
how
idea.
Long, You can, yeah, you can use your FSA or HSA money to buy it too.
Hmm.
Yeah. So that's a little tip. But anything you think might be more difficult to get after the Trump administration takes hold on
grab
power,
some.
Grab some. Get your ducks in a row. And if you have some tips or you have some insight into this, hysteria@crooked.com. Look, we're all in this together. We're all in this together. The doors of the ride have closed. We are on until the roller coaster is done. We gotta hang on. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got announcements for the class and Sani Petty. And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who just filled their Christmas list with emergency supplies.
I feel so much better.
Honestly, yes. Like, you don't even need to buy one of the pre-made bug bags, your bug out bags or whatever. You can assemble it yourself. And, like, what a loving thing to give someone this holiday season. It's like those jars with the cookie ingredients in it, except.
Yeah, or like, make your own vanilla extract.
100%. Yeah. Make DIY emergency preparedness kit. There is actually, just real quick, tagging along on the last segment. The government does have good websites about what to include in a,
it does, yes.
in a kit. So, you know, DIY. Yay. Okay, first some announcements for the class. If you're new around here, make sure to check out Crooked's foreign policy show, Pod Save the World.
Hosts Tommy and Ben Rhodes cover the implications on Trump's national security picks, the recent news on Russia and Ukraine, and international summits like the G20 on their latest episode.
You know what? It sounds like Tommy and Ben changed their, they have the same last name now. Did they?
Tommy Vitor.
Tommy Vitor and Ben Rhodes. Tommy was like, I'm taking Ben's name. We've been doing this podcast.
It stumped me for a sec.
They've become common law married.
Is
they've
Tommy
been doing...
Cher? Tommy Cher? He just doesn't need a last name anymore?
That's bold. Because there are a lot of Tommies in the world. Mm-hmm. He's just going by one name. Like, Tommy XCX. I love Pod Save the World. I listen. It's like my favorite international relations foreign policy podcast.
Oh, definitely.
This week, Bernie Sanders drops by to talk about the latest on Gaza. And new episodes of Pod Save the World drop every Wednesday. Tune in wherever you get your podcasts. Now let's get to Sani Petty. Alyssa, Sanity Corner or I Feel Petty this week?
Petty.
Okay.
I'm petty this week. And I'm petty about Hobby Lobby. Erin, they, you know, Christmas commercials are dropping left and right. Mm-hmm. And the new Hobby Lobby Christmas commercial feels unsafe to me.
Okay. Can you describe it to our listeners?
Oh, believe me, I will. So you see, like, this idyllic little street where it's snowing and everybody's house is decorated for Christmas because obviously they all celebrate Christmas. And a woman and a man live next door to each other. And there's an old couple, presumably single, and there's an old couple across the street that leaves them Christmas cards from the other person so that they meet. Right? So, like, they leave the man a Christmas card from the lady and a lady a Christmas card from the man. And then the man comes home and he sees his Christmas card and he's like, I'm going to go over to the lady's house. And then they pan to the old couple with, like, all the accoutrements on their table for making the Christmas card. And they're like, cheers to Christmas. Christmas is what you make of it. And I was like, OMG.
I don't want a man coming to my house.
Crazy.
I don't want a man coming.
What on earth?
This woman.
And they're like, they're sipping cocoa and, like, decorating the tree together because obviously a card was all it took. And, like, I don't want to accuse them of malfeasance or anything, but, like, I literally was stopped cold in my tracks by that commercial. I was like, don't answer the door, my lady. But she did. And then they had cocoa.
Comp het is what that's called. Everyone just assumes everyone's straight and that everyone assumes that people who are by themselves really want to be coupled up, which is toxic, frankly.
But mostly I was like, she should check out his social media before she lets him in.
Yeah,
she doesn't know anything about him.
Don't let a man in your house. If she went over, see, that's the thing. I can't think of a way to make that not feel like, oh, I don't know. I wouldn't do that, lady.
It was really bad.
I don't like that ad either. I also don't like that Hobby Lobby has been the engine behind a Supreme Court case that ruled that closely held family corporations did not need to provide birth control coverage to their employees. They're a bad company.
And I didn't even know it was Hobby Lobby till the end of the commercial, just FYI. I was not predisposed to not liking it. I was literally drawn in. I was like, what are they doing? Then it said, make the most of the holidays from Hobby Lobby. So I didn't know.
Do you know that at Hobby Lobby, they don't have barcodes? Everything is like a number on.
Really?
Because they believe that it's the mark of the beast because they are that crazy.
I didn't know
they are that. They are Antonin Scalia, Satan's a real guy, levels of crazy. Like, they think that, like, the devil is a real dude who'll come up and be like, ha, poke you. And, like, yeah, they're nuts. They are nuts. Go get holiday. And I don't like the bait and switch either. I don't like that.
Right.
It's like those Jesus commercials that are like, I'm like, oh, this is interesting. Yes. And they're like, he gets us. And I'm like, fuck you.
I know.
The real Jesus would be like, fuck you. This is dumb. I don't like this. We don't need to talk about Jesus. He's been talked about enough. I was going to be petty, but I'm going to end on a Sani this week because we're trying to, I'm trying to do some compartmentalization station stuff in my head to stay away from the ugliness of the news and the existential dread of what is coming. But I am completely throwing myself in a Griswoldian way into decorating for Christmas.
Yes, you are. It's exceptional.
I am not done yet. And we have I don't want to describe too much about my house, but it is popping.
Exceptional.
It is on and popping. And not in a like tacky, like the neighbors are mad at us kind of way. We're doing it tasteful.
Aaron, it's perfect. There was a house when you showed me the picture. There is a house when I was growing up before when we lived down in Poughkeepsie, and we would drive by it every Christmas Eve, and it was my favorite thing, and I looked forward to it every year. And Aaron, your house is that house. It is chef's kiss.
Oh, well, we're not done yet. We've got more to do.
Well, I'll be waiting for more pictures.
But I'm going to
It is almost Thanksgiving.
I'm going to throw myself in. It's funny because it's like we live kind of on a thoroughfare where there's a lot of people that like foot traffic and stuff, which is rare in LA, but I really like it. But there's always kids and parents and dogs walking by and they always stop. And these kids the other day were like, they're already decorating for Christmas? And the mom was like, yes, there's a lot going on. I was in the office and I heard them and I wanted to like run out and be like, should we be friends? But then I didn't because I didn't want to freak her out.
I love that though.
But yeah, she defended me. And so if you're listening to this anonymous mom, thank you for defending me and my going headfirst into Christmas because it's all I got between now and January.
It's what we got.
To distract.
It's what we're gonna do. Yeah.
I don't know. We're going to have to come up with a new thing after Christmas.
We may have to decorate for Valentine's.
Yeah, we may. All right. That is all the time we have for this week's episode of Hysteria. Listeners, we love you guys so much. We're glad you're here. We're here for you. I mentioned the Discord earlier. If you're not part of it yet and you want to be, you can join at crooked.com/friends. If you want to get in touch, hysteria@crooked.com. Alyssa, thank you for being my ride or die this
thank
week.
Thank you.
Every week. And for the foreseeable future. All right, folks. There will be more Hysteria for you next week. Don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on IG, Twitter, and TikTok. Subscribe to Hysteria on YouTube for access to video versions of your favorite segments and other exclusive content. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a nice review. Hysteria is a Crooked Media production. Caroline Reston is our senior producer. Our executive producer is me, Aaron Ryan. And Alyssa Mastromonaco is our co-producer. Claire Fogarty is our associate producer. The show is engineered and edited by Jordan Cantor. We get audio support from Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis. Our video producers are Rachel Gajewski and Claudia Sheng. And thank you to Julia Beach, Ewa Okolade, Adia Hill, and David Tolles for production support every week.